We got a mini. We got a Mammy. Am I saying, what am I, how do you say her name? Mamie?
Mamie, yeah.
Mamie. I know her name in my head, but
Yeah.
I just, my brain's broken.
The Mamie Mini.
Yeah, welcome to release. It's the Mamie Mini.
Yeah, as in Mamie Van Doren.
Yeah, one of the three M's. Did you hear this reference?
No, I didn't look up anything. I just watched the movies.
Oh, fun. Yeah,
Yeah.
so she was like, it was her, Marilyn, and Jane Mansfield
Oh, okay.
were called the
Yeah.
three M's, and they were like these like hot blondes of the 1950s and kind of pit against each other.
Right.
And I think there's only like one instance where like the three M's were in the same film, and it was Mamie and Mansfield were in some silly movie together.
Oh.
But both Mansfield and Marilyn died quite young, and Mamie's still alive.
Mamie
She's
is still
91.
alive. And
She's out here.
yeah, I like have always been aware of Mamie Van Doren, but I have never seen, I had not ever seen any Mamie Van Doren movies.
I haven't either.
I knew that she was like, one of the sort of blonde bombshell, sort of, we're going to capitalize on the success of Marilyn kind of thing.
Yeah.
Or I don't know, maybe that wasn't even the thing. Maybe they all came up together.
That's what I did write down the dates. Let me see if I can find in my notes. Yeah, okay. So like Marilyn was working from 1945 to 1962, and then she died at 36. Jane Mansfield like enters the frame in 1954. So Mamie is there before her in 1951.
Oh, okay.
So it's like, yeah, I'm sure it was like
Interesting.
Marilyn, which like Lana Turner vibes maybe even for Marilyn.
Uh-huh.
And I know like Mamie wanted to be more Lana Turner
Yeah.
of like more serious roles, and it like just never happened. But like I can kind of see why she like is like so charismatic as this like singing, dancing gal, where like Marilyn and Jane Mansfield weren't. I mean, Jane Mansfield was a little bit more of like a frivolous star, but like Marilyn had her thing going. And she was still in the frame, she was still working.
It seems like Mamie's vibe is, I'm fine with all of this, as far as like the types of movies that she was in. It seemed like she was just having a lot of fun.
Yeah, and she's talking, so she wrote an autobiography, and so I think she's like talking about it in past tense. So she's like, yeah, I wish I would have had like meatier roles. But at the time, it's like she's working, she's making
Yeah.
tons of films every year, and she really has her thing going, and she is just like really fun to
Yeah.
watch.
What did you watch?
So I watch Untamed Youth and I watch Girls Town. And I had fun.
I watched all four of those movies.
Oh shit. So I like went through, I like looked, so the other two are,
High
I
School
like,
Confidential and
yes.
Guns, Girls, and Gangsters.
Yes.
Really, really amazing titles. Girls Town, I think, was my favorite of her performances.
Oh my God. Her lines.
I
She's just
know.
like a spitfire.
Well, that movie, like, there's no way that John Waters was not obsessed with that
Ooh,
movie. Like, his,
for sure.
like, that dialogue has, like, a John Waters stamp on it.
Totally.
Like
Yes.
when she says, I mean, this is my favorite line of all four of the movies, when she just looks at all that those that group of girls and says, "You skags."
Yeah.
That's
Oh,
like
yes. It is so
so
John
John
Waters.
Waters,
I hadn't thought of that, but like when I was right, I was like taking notes, and it's like these aren't like heavy duty movies. I didn't like take plot point notes or
Right.
anything, but I was writing lines because they're so good.
Yeah.
And just like the slang, like
Yeah.
I want some of this slang
Well, it's
to come
definitely
back.
all of this slang is definitely reappropriated from Black culture. A lot of all of it. It's like this is like where rock and roll is like hitting the scene. Like,
yeah.
None of these movies is not without like some sort of crazy rock and roll going on, except for Guns, Girls, and Gangsters. That one is more of like a gangster picture.
Yeah, I scrolled through a little bit and just watched her performance, which was fun.
Yeah, she plays Vi. Oh, she has great names too, which is also a very John Waters thing to have like a great name. Like she plays Silver Morgan in Girls Town. And then I think she plays like Vi Victor or something like that in Guns, Girls, and Gangsters. She's wrapped up in a plot. They're making her do a job with them to like heist an armored car. She performs an incredible number, a real showstopper. I was like, oh, this is a far cry from what she was doing in not a far cry. But like more of a, she's on a stage rather than in a cotton field, like she is in Untamed Youth. Mm-hmm. It's more of a glamour number where she's like, you know, she's the star of the show. She plays a showgirl. And this guy comes to her dressing room and he smacks her across the face and says, "That's from your husband."
Oh God.
He was her husband's former cellmate who had just gotten out of the clink, came to slap her across the face and say, "That's what he thought when he got the divorce papers from you."
Oh.
Roughhousing.
God, there's so much assault of women. Assault in general, but some pretty brutal.
All of these movies really play the lady or the girls or the young girls. They're all morality tales, especially High School Confidential. High School Confidential was very intense, like on the PSA vibe. And I mean, even in the end, it was like there was a voiceover that was like, "The picture you have just seen is a warning, blah, blah, blah. We will not stop trying to get this marijuana out of high schools."
Oh, Reefer Madness shit.
Yeah. And, you know, Mamie's role is more of a supporting role. She plays the drunk younger aunt who's trying to seduce her. Well, he's a cop, so he's like, he's playing a real badass teen, bad kid, but he's like an undercover cop. It's that whole trope.
Oh my God.
I feel like that's where that trope was born. He's trying to infiltrate to see who's supplying him with sticks.
There's
a girl, Joni. She's addicted to marijuana. And she's just like, "Oh, come on. I just need a couple of sticks."
Oh.
And then she's warned that she's going to wind up like Doris if she doesn't lay off the sticks. And Doris is over there addicted to H.
Oh, no. Heavy duty.
Yeah. And that's heroin, not hickeys.
Yeah, I figured. Maybe both.
Probably both.
Yeah, that's interesting. Maybe I should have watched that because I like was trying to contextualize like this moment, this like teen exploitation film moment. So I did some research. So it's like the moment we're in, it's like the film industry has like less output at this time because in 1948 is when the United States versus Paramount Pictures antitrust case gets finalized. So that is when they like break up these monopolies that the movie theaters have with the studios. So there's just like less output. So like theaters are looking for films to play. So they're like looking at these like more marginal cinema, these like lower budget films. And like there's like a lot of things like coming together at this moment. Like people have already, like we have urban sprawl. So it's like drive-in theaters are like a thing.
Right.
And also like the economy is booming. So there's this teen sector that emerges where before it was like, you're either a kid or you're like a young adult. Now there's like this teen market that has like a little bit of spending money. And so they're like playing to them. So like where exploitation film starts is like a warning. then they're like, oh, if we like just play directly to the teens, then come and see these movies. They don't necessarily want to see some like, you know,
they want to wiggle and wriggle and giggle and rock.
Yeah, like revel in the moment.
Yeah.
And there is this like rebellious spirit post-World War II. Like teens are like, we've seen some shit. Like we know about the world. Like let us live. So it is like that moment. So it seems like the High School Confidential is like leaning to one side of exploitation, teen exploitation film. And then the other three are more, or like definitely Girls Town and Untamed Youth are like, it's fun to be bad.
Yeah.
With maybe like a heart of gold.
Right. I wrote about High School Confidential. This movie is scummy propaganda.
Yeah.
It is. It's scummy as fuck, man. I didn't like it. It gave me like, ugh, real bad, you know, middle America, southern states vibes.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I scrolled through a little bit and I was like, I don't know if this is for me. It's not as fun.
Well, Guns, Girls, and Gangsters is pretty fun.
Yeah, maybe I'll check in with that one. I did watch her performance and I liked it.
There's a great fight scene at the end, which, you know, sometimes those fight scenes in older films are pretty bad, but this one was choreographed pretty great. Great, like, stage fighting. And the bad guy, the main boss, is played by Jackie Coogan, who was Uncle Fester on the Addams Family.
Oh, crazy.
Yeah, kind of like my favorite part of the movie.
Damn. Oh, well, I will note that in Girls Town, when they go to, like, the... So they visit, they check in with the first time we see Mamie... She is who is Silver in that movie. I'm thinking of Untamed.
Right. Hold on. Let's pick one of the two that we both watched and let's just chat about it.
And I'll chat about who Mammy is as a person. So she like her family moves to LA and she works at the Pantages Theater. So like then she's like it seems like she's meeting folks, but also she's like a smoking hot blonde. So, like, she's, like, engaged to heavyweight boxing champ Jack Dempsey. And then she becomes involved with fucking Howard Hughes, of course.
Okay.
And they date. And so that's how, like, she gets her first few films is, like, with RKO because of Howard Hughes. So that's not, like, any of the ones that we watch. Then she, like, swaps over to Universal.
Uh-huh.
And by the time we meet up with her in 1957 for, I think that's the first one. When is Girls Town? Let me look. Yeah. So 1957 is, we watched Untamed Youth. And then 59 is Girls Town. So this Untamed Youth is also the, she's the first actress to sing rock and roll.
Oh.
American musical film.
Okay.
And she does a great job. I would think that she like... She could have a career as, like, a rock and roll.
Yeah,
I would love to see more gals like her.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely... I know that there's definitely, like, collections of her music out there.
Hell yeah. I love
it. For sure.
But I like watching her wiggle around, too.
Yeah. So, Girls Town... I mean, sorry. Untamed Youth.
Untamed Youth.
That was...
Which is definitely the, like, most popular of these. And, like...
Oh, yeah.
It's definitely chasing, like, Rebel Without a Cause, which was in 1955 and was, like, you know, hugely popular and, like, had a, you know, a crazy marketing campaign with, like, James Dean's death and all of that. Natalie Wood, like, becoming, like, a teen star and, or, like, a young adult.
Right.
Like... growing into that role. So like that was huge. So I'm sure they're all chasing that. And Untamed Youth gets like, I think like it was pretty fucking popular.
Yeah.
So this is Warner Brothers, 1957.
Warner Brothers, 1957.
March 10th.
Okay.
Coming out in the spring.
And we're chasing a guy through a field. The cops are after him. We've got some rock and roll. over the top of that. That's the opening credits. And it's the cops tackling like a young guy. And then we cut to Mamie and her sister. Can't remember their names.
So she's Penny, but sister is
Penny Lowe and
Jane.
Yeah. More normal Lowe.
Yeah.
She was more
normal. I don't know. She's tough. Like she,
she was great, actually.
She like beat the shit out of a girl later that's fucking with her sister.
Right. She does. She says, okay, you want an Italian haircut? Let's go.
I know. I wrote that down too. And then I said, what is it, an Italian haircut? Like, I think I'm sure it's means, not good.
Well, I think it just means she's going to pull her hair out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Opening thing, it was like kind of like interesting because we will talk about it in 1936, but we'll talk about Marlene Dietrich in our 1936 episode that is coming up soon-ish. Mm-hmm. But the opening of a movie that I watched, Blonde Venus, it opens very similarly with naked ladies swimming in water.
Yeah.
And men ogling them.
Yeah, creepy cop.
That creepy cop, oh man, it's just crazy because I was just picking out all of these things that were so exactly from a John Waters movie. That whole creepy cop guy, like that whole beginning, whole opening sequence, that is very much Desperate Living. If anybody has seen Desperate Living, then that whole cop thing, I'm pretty sure that Untamed Youth's creepy cop inspired John Waters. Just a guess, but it is pretty similar. But yeah, he's gross. And he arrests them for skinny dipping, and they also admitted that they were hitchhiking, and then weird old judge lady throws the book at them and gives them the option of either going to jail or...
For 30 days.
That's a long time.
And she like warns them about the dangers of hitchhiking, which is the one thing I was like, oh shit. Like she said there'd been 7 murders. And I was like, oh, this is like maybe like a bit of that morality exploitation. Like be scared.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
I mean, hitchhiking, I'm sure, was dangerous for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
And common.
Common. Dangerous.
Yep.
But they choose to, their other option is to work on a cotton farm.
Cotton picking.
Yeah. So the judge and this guy, this other creepo grosso.
Ugh, with the Dobermans?
Yeah.
Ugh.
He's running this farm and he's using basically people who... free labor. This movie is kind of crazy. They say that there's a lot to unpack in this movie, to be honest. Mm-hmm. There's like a cotton field. There's a girl, like at one point, Penny Lowe says, I thought Abraham Lincoln abolished slavery.
Yeah.
And I was like, bitch, it's like,
the same.
This is what you think slavery is? You're like dancing around. You're like swing dancing and like having a good old time.
At like a canteen.
Yeah, it was kind of crazy. I was like, oh my God. My note about that was like, this is what white people think slavery was.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, totally.
Yeah. So that was weird. But there is also some interesting, like kind of like almost like nods to homosexuality. Like, that guy brings the one girl in back from the house.
Yeah. What's her name? Lilibet?
Lilibet brings her back from the house.
Obviously he's like fucking her. So she can stay in the house.
Right. Obviously. So she gets demoted back to the barracks, basically. And that guy,
she's screwing around with another guy, right?
She's like, screwing around with another guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
All of the women get punished. You know what I mean?
Trollops.
Oh, you're going to fucking fuck that guy. Fuck you. You're going back to the fucking barracks. But that one woman, who does the reprise of the cotton picker song, the tall woman,
I know
who you mean. She's in a towel. The girl who was like,
this movie's fun.
If I do a strip tease, I get paid for it. But
I love that line.
She says to that guy, she says, get out of here, you peeper. And he says, you don't have anything I want to peep.
Yeah, rude.
And then there are two, two babes in the cotton picking in the field number who are like swing dancing together.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Super cute.
For sure. And there's like a lot of like, I was surprised at like the hairstyles and stuff. It felt like when you see 1950s films, it feels very like prim and like what I think of as like the 50s. But right. Here we have like girls with like really short haircuts wearing like men's jeans.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's fucking cool looking. Like, it's great. Like, the style is great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Definitely getting into some bouffant zones with like Mamie, with Mamie's hair.
Yeah. Well, she's the most, like, traditionally femme of all the gals, for sure.
Yeah.
But she still does a little Elvis impersonation, you know?
Yeah.
Like, everyone's impersonating Elvis. It's fun.
Everybody's impersonating Elvis. It's a little bit uncomfortable with some of its language. They get the bad guy, which is great. That woman, oh, my God. She is such a shithead. That judge is a shithead.
Yeah, well, she, like, so like, okay, so we got to hit that plot point.
Yeah.
Like, so what's happening essentially is that there's no one to pick cotton on the farm in the area for like a lot. It's a problem for a lot of people. So this dude, Mr. Trop, who I heard as Mr. Trump for half the film.
Me too.
And then I was like, oh, they're not saying Mr. Trump. He woos her. Apparently before she becomes judge, he like puts money behind her campaign for judge and is also pursuing, like, pretending to be romantically interested in her to the point where he marries her. She gets elected and then she's funneling folks into his farm for like next to nothing.
Right. She's doing she's doing a shitty thing already, but she doesn't realize that he's doing like even shittier things to them. Like feeding them dog food.
Feeding them dog food. And her son, so like we meet her son at the, like, at the courtroom for a second, because like her age, you called her an old lady, but I was like, how old is she? Because it was totally confusing when like she ran up and hugged this man. I was like, oh. And then it was like her son,
right?
Like her age, I'm sure she's probably like 35, the actress.
You
and then
think
they just like aged her up. Maybe 40.
Yeah,
but it's like they act like she's so pathetic, and it's like she is, because of like the way he's like fucking with her is like really working on her.
Right.
But she's not like, I mean, she definitely, obviously, like her manner and her dress like suggests an older woman. But yeah, so like her son starts, he starts working at
the farm.
The farm.
Which they used to own.
Oh, and so he's like operating machinery that's like more, it requires more expertise. So that makes
and
sense.
He's getting paid.
Yeah, he's getting paid.
He's like an actual employee. But yeah, that lady, she really is kind of like, she seems like a soap opera actress.
Yeah, she's a lot.
She's kind of a lot. And she's a shithead.
Well, when Mr. Trop comes over to her house and they have like a date and he's like trying to get out of there, I feel like she was directed to be melodramatic, like in the way that this movie is melodramatic.
Sure.
Because she's kind of delivering like a pretty decent monologue. And then she's like, oh, whatever his fucking name is. And like puts, like digs her head in his neck and it's like very like over the top. And I was like, that's not how she was acting before this. Someone gave her a note.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It felt like that. Like, you gotta, like, really show him what's up. Like, you're really in love with this man. And so she does.
Yeah. Somebody was like, you're not taking it far enough.
Yeah.
And then she boosted it up to 110. And they were like, just give us 100%. We don't need 110. So she's still really over the top.
For sure.
She definitely is like the, I'm staring into middle space, telling you this really dramatic story with like watery eyes kind of vibes.
Yeah. It does feel like she, her junk, it's like her, you know, goofiness, like goofy out of touchness is like juxtaposed against like the super cool guy demeanor of like everybody else.
Yeah. Yeah, she's also representing somebody who is older and is the past. And we are in this movie that is all about what is happening right now with youth. It's almost like a pre-youthquake youthquake. You know, it's not like what happens in the 60s where style of dress completely veers off course from what any adult would wear. But it's definitely like preparing everything for that. Like youth culture is taking over and like the youth dollar is, you know, becoming more important than the adult dollar. So it's like we're producing more for kids starting here and like going through all the way until present day.
Right, because like we're like really frowning upon Mr. Trop's like capitalism and exploitation. Like they like band together to like buck against that. And they even get this gal, the judge, to go to join their team also. But it, what it takes is for her to find out that he's been like betting women at the farm. Like that's really what like tips her over. Yeah, she knows it's wrong before, because Mr. Trop says like, if your son found out, he would be angry at you,
right?
And like, we can't have that, right? And she's like, oh yeah, we can't have that. Like, so she knows she's on the wrong side of things already, because like her son, who she loves so much, would not approve of her actions. So it's like, it's an interesting, kind of anti-capitalist, really.
Yeah,
they're like, how fucking dare you? And then they like turn on him and his like violent gang of
It all comes to a head
bending the law.
Yeah, it all comes to a head when he's trying to get he's trying to supply these other farmers with workers and has cut like a shitty deal with them
to bring up folks from Mexico.
Yeah, with, like, he's
fake paperwork.
Yeah, with fake documents, and and the whole lot of them, all of the people who have chosen to work here rather than go to jail, all of the prisoners, if you will, they all like come up kind of pitchfork style, like
I know, shovels in hand.
It was so totally sick. It was pretty cool.
But he was sicking those Dobermans on people. I was like, this is nuts. But like two Dobermans is such a good accessory for like a villain. And there's like no bones about his villainry from the beginning. Like he looks like a villain.
Yeah, totally.
Like he's fucking like kind of handsome, but like terrifying looking.
Yeah, he's kind of like,
like never laughs.
Like a handsome skeleton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Without like an amused bone in his body.
Right.
Fucking gross.
Yeah. So yeah, it's kind of like that guy, the judge's son, he ends up kind of being the hero. Mm-hmm. You know, he's the outsider that comes in and he's like the legit one who didn't do anything wrong, and he helps free all of the people who have clearly been breaking the law by skinny dipping and hitchhiking.
Right. Yeah, like he uses his little bit of power for good.
Right.
But I will, like, it's interesting, like in both of these movies, Mamie doesn't really have a romance. I thought of you. It's like, it's not romance centric.
Oh, yeah.
Neither of these films.
It's not. You're right.
So he does end up with Penny's sister, the other Lowe.
Jane Lowe. And Penny Jane wants Lowe. To be on TV, so she gets herself on TV and she does a rousing number.
It's kind of offensive, but yeah.
It was also kind of offensive. Yes.
And I was like, damn, like, can't she be on TV doing rock and roll? Like, she's on in like the number that she does on TV is very Hollywood of the time.
Right.
Almost probably like a little fuddy-duddy, like maybe like late 40s, early 50s instead of late 50s.
Yeah.
And I will note that like as progressive as they've gotten, so like Jane Lowe is going to end up with Bob Steele, I think is their last name. And
yeah, with that shithead mother-in-law.
Like, she doesn't get to be on stage anymore. She's going to be a rancher's wife, which is totally her choice, and she seems very happy with it. She right. said she'd miss him more than she misses being on stage.
Uh-huh.
But I was like, damn, like, crush Jane's dreams. She can't have both.
No.
I hope she's performing on the weekends at some little canteen in your area.
Yeah. I bet you he wouldn't let her do it.
Oh, my God. Bob Better.
Bob Steele.
He's so, like, obviously, ugh. Like... portrayed as just like kind.
Yeah.
Like just, he has no attributes, but like kind.
He is kind. This man is kind.
Everyone gets like one thing in this movie.
Yeah.
So it's like Jane was kind of surprising because you think she's going to be like very like pragmatic. Like she's right. the pragmatic sister, the less hot sister, the less blonde sister. And then she's tough as nails. She like,
yeah, she's great.
Beat the shit out of that girl.
She does beat the shit out of that girl. She's got some great one-liners too.
Yeah, and Lilibet literally says uncle.
Yeah, totally. She's like, no way. I'm not fighting with you again.
Yeah. So good. I love this movie.
I liked it too. It's fun. I think I like Girls Town more than mm-hmm. Untamed Youth.
There's more to it.
Yeah, and Mamie gets to be Penny Lowe and Jane Lowe combined.
Oh yeah.
She gets to be
and she's spicier.
She gets to be the tough ass in Girls Town.
Kind of damaged.
Yeah.
Like her damage has added up to like a razor sharp wit.
Yeah. And that hairdo.
Oh my God. What I was trying to figure out.
I was
out
waiting
that
for her to have a different hairdo.
No, she got it set.
I think what that hairdo is she has maybe shoulder length or just above shoulder length hair. And they kind of like pinned it all in and then gave her that like fall. It's like a ponytail that doesn't have like a band around it. It's just kind of
I know.
Hanging.
I thought it was a ponytail. And then her sister, it's another sister story.
Yeah.
Her sister has a ponytail. And I was like, oh, her. It just like, yeah, it's like tucked under a piece of hair that like falls over as if like you could put a ponytail holder in and then you have a ponytail.
Yeah, then you'd be complete. I don't hate.
Why not just have one?
I don't hate this hair, but it is an interesting one.
Well, she gets some good clothes in this one.
Yeah.
Some like real hot dresses. Some shit that would like not look out of place now. She has like a cutout belly moment.
Oh,
like
yeah.
When she goes out to dinner later. It's wild.
I need to rewatch Girls Town. I watched Untamed Youth twice, but I need to rewatch Girls Town because I just liked it. Yeah, and I just want to like, you know, want to get some of those lines in there.
Mm.
You skags.
Yeah.
It's all these girls.
It is so John Waters.
They're not at a prison. There are no fences. There are no walls. No one's keeping them in. That's why she can go out to dinner later. She's been accused of murder.
Well, yeah. We open with like a gnarly attempted rape.
Not like, into it. That's like another thing is it's just like.
That was horrifying.
It's just like. It's very passe how they play it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, this little girl getting, oh, come on, big deal. He's just trying to fucking put it in you. Get over it.
Yeah.
Oh, God, fucking Mel Torme. What a scuzz. Jesus.
How was he such a thing? He's so unattractive.
I do not know. And how,
I guess they just were some unattractive guys that got to be stars, which, God bless. I wish they would have let some women also.
Yeah, exactly.
Attractive in there.
Yeah. Like that woman, I mean, she was not unattractive, but like she was taller and probably too masculine to have a further, a career outside of those movies, you know?
Yeah, not a main character.
Not a main character. Just somebody who gets paid for striptease.
Well, thank God.
Yeah.
But yeah, we start out with an attempted rape in Girls Town, and then the theme song, like the opening song, which is talking about Girls Town, is so upbeat. I was just like thrown.
I know.
I was like, what is happening?
Yeah. Well, the man who is trying to rape said girl, he falls off a cliff. She doesn't push him.
Yeah, good.
He just falls off a cliff and we're happy.
Yeah, we can't tell who. We can tell it's a blonde woman in a scarf, but besides that, we don't know what who this is.
Right.
Which becomes important.
Yeah, and it's not that big of a mystery.
No, because we immediately go and meet up with Silver, who is Mamie Van Doren.
Right.
And she's at like a party that looks so fun.
I know. It's like
an outdoor party. The Dragons are the gang of dudes that she's with. And that dude is hot in the striped shirt.
That's what I'm telling you. I need to rewatch it. I'll probably rewatch it after we are done here.
Yeah, and who is there is Peggy Moffat, who's this British model.
Uh-huh.
Who
oh,
is,
my God,
have you seen that movie,
yes.
Who Are You, Polly Magoo?
Yes, yes, yes. I totally was like, that woman is so familiar to me. And then I was like, holy shit.
She is like one of the most striking, like she is so cool looking and she's singing, which she also sang.
Wait, she's when we get to Girls Town though, right?
No, I think at the Dragons party I saw her. I think that's when that woman, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
Because I was like, oh, Flo. Oh, maybe that's later. Maybe I'm totally wrong about
she's
this.
She's one of the girls in the dorms. She's the tall girl. But
who
is
that girl at the Dragons party, though?
I don't remember.
Maybe she's both.
She might be. You know, just pop some different hair on her.
Yeah, because I was like, this face is so familiar. And then I like looked up the people and I was like, this is the only person.
Listen, we're going to need more dragons. Get out the wigs.
Yeah.
But
I love that party. I'm obsessed with that party.
That party is crazy. The thing that I noticed about that party was there's a lot of making out. There's that one couple that is making out and the girl is like totally going along with it. Right. And so, they have a very specific setup. It's a very specific shot. It's like this couple, they're making out, they're having fun. And then all of a sudden, you know, there's a brawl. You know, Mel Torme's ugly face comes in. I'm sorry, more Mel Torme. I should, you know what I mean? I shouldn't say shit like that. But Mel Torme comes in and he is, you know, rival gang. And so there's a brawl. And so we cut back and it's like, what has happened to that man's hormones? Because now all of a sudden he's attacking this girl and she's trying to get away. It's almost as if the fight has amped up everything and he is like attacking her all of a sudden.
Well, I feel like is like, we got to get out of here a little bit. Like, she's like, you can't be making out in the middle of like a fight, like because a fight ensues. Like,
right. It's a brawl.
And there's like Mamie hit someone in the face, or Silver, excuse me, hit someone in the face with a pie. Someone gets a bucket on their head.
Oh,
like, it's
she totally pies Mel Torme.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's like,
I love her in it. I love her in it. She is just like, fuck you. That's like her. That's like the toughest move. That's the Silver Morgan is the toughest that I've seen her in these four movies. She's crazy. She's crazy in High School Confidential. She's just trying to seduce her nephew the whole time. She's wasted the whole time. She gets sent to Girls Town under suspicion of murder.
Yes.
Although they can pin nothing
on her.
They can't
get her. for that.
No.
So they are like, well, you are on probation for something else. So like, and you're an orphan. So let's go. But like, also like, how old is she?
Yeah, like, exactly.
She didn't feel like under 18. They didn't seem to be trying to pose that.
No.
But they still can send her to this home. Or she kind of just goes.
Yeah, she kind of just goes. And she's like, you know, what is this?
Yeah.
What is this place? Oh, and by the way, like, so really had no expectations of what, of anything that was going to happen in any of these movies. But all of a sudden, like, nuns show up. You know, I was like, oh my God, this is nuns. We're going with nuns.
Yeah.
Which is also a John Waters trope that he plays that one in Polyester.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nuns are like high camp.
Perfect. Yeah, totally. Always. So these nuns come and they take Silver to Girlstown. And they're nice nuns. Yeah. They're not mean.
Yeah, they don't get twisted or anything.
No, the only people who get twisted are the girls at Girlstown because they're like, they're like, listen, we don't have walls here for a reason. And if you're going to fucking sneak out, you're going to get us all in trouble. So we're going to fucking keep you in your place, Silver Morgan. And you're...
Well, immediately we know that this girl does judo because she's trying.
That's right.
Well, she's a bitch. She's like, oh, now you and this other one who's like clearly disturbed and is like in love with Paul Anka.
My God, I forgot about Paul Anka. And I just.
Paul Anka's like newly famous in 1959.
Yeah.
Like he's like very new. And he just plays like, you know, like a singer that's like on the radio and like plays at the club like every night, but like not like a superstar is what I get. And she like thinks that he's like in love with her.
Yeah.
And she's totally delusional, but sweet. And like obviously been through some shit. She is an orphan.
Right.
And like the girls are like, oh yeah, you're now, you and that one, Serafina, are now going to be the ones to like make our beds and like do all the chores.
Yeah.
And Silver's not taking that shit. But then like, what is her name? The scary one.
I don't remember.
I don't remember either. But she like knows judo. So she's like fucking, you know, drops her.
Yeah.
So someone
totally
ends up in a locker at some point.
Oh yeah.
So
actually, that's the Silver shoves the one who I believe is Peggy Moffat into the locker.
Oh yeah, Flo.
Yeah.
Okay, it's all coming together for me.
Yeah, I'm so intrigued now by the trajectory of Peggy Moffat from Girlstown to Paris Fashion.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like she was already modeling.
Okay.
She's like very much that like Vidal Sassoon.
Yeah, yeah. Very blunt
like
bangs.
That era.
Really strange
oh,
face.
Oh, she is from LA. I thought she was British for whatever reason.
Yeah, of course. Well, because
she went over there.
She just worked internationally.
Yeah.
You know, she's got an international face.
Well, they say some line now I'm remembering like about how like ugly she is. Oh, Silver says like no amount of makeup is gonna help her or whatever because she's like in there because she like was a thief so that she could pay for her salon visits, and that's so funny because it's like well, what she's known for is being a model, so
yeah,
someone likes her face,
lots of people like her face.
Yeah
What else happens in Girlstown? Oh my God. Also, LA River hot rodden. 100% grease.
Oh my God. Yes. Oh, so much happens because it's like we come to find out what we already knew in more concrete terms. So, like, Mel Torme is after he puts it together that it was Silver's sister that actually did this.
Right.
And he's like worried about his, like, this not all being resolved cleanly because his dad's gonna so I guess they are teenagers,
right?
Because he's worried that his dad's gonna take his like car, his racing car away
from
him.
I was like, oh my god, like you're gonna like fucking fuck up this girl's life, have her sent down to Tijuana to become a whore.
He wants to get rid of her
because they're gonna take away your car.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
That hardly makes sense, but I think that's like classic of like exploitation shit. It's like he had to have some reason behind his awful behavior, and they're like, oh, he's worried about his car because like he's the guy that races cars. Because they got to get car culture in there because it's like,
oh, yeah.
And it is brutal.
It's crazy. It's way crazier than. It's way crazier than Greece, for sure.
Yeah. Oh, it's way more rugged.
It's more rugged. I would definitely throw a pie in Mel Torme's face.
Yeah, Mel Torme sucks.
Yeah. Although, I don't know. Yeah. I don't want to waste a pie.
Yeah.
I wouldn't waste a pie on that face. You skag.
Yeah, no. He's already got pie on his face.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, how does it all... I just watched this movie and I'm like, how did it all resolve? Because I know there's like another fight because she puts bread in a pantyhose and like hits him with it.
Oh yeah, there's... Oh my God, you're right.
Silver does?
Yeah, she puts that brick in there. Or a rock or whatever. Yeah, they Judo Girl and Silver go in and they rescue the little sister.
Yeah.
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 They finally realize that they're all on the same team. So like they make her scrub, they make Silver scrub the floor for Paul Anka to come and sing.
Right.
And then, yeah, everything's resolved somehow after that. Judo Girl gets on her side. She proves her little innocence and then she's free. And as she's leaving, now Serafina, the delusional, snapped out of her false love affair and is now a nun too, or going to be.
She's a nun, but she also does attempt suicide. She gets very girl interrupted.
Oh, God,
she takes a bottle of pills, which I saw coming from a mile away. I was like, oh, this girl's going to try to commit suicide. She can't have Paul Anka. And I just felt like I could just feel that, like, when the cameras weren't rolling, that Paul Anka may have just been smarmy.
Yeah, for sure. He was borderline. He was like playing both sides a little bit. Like
totally.
Being like super like, you know, wholesome, but like with a tinge of like, I'll say whatever I need to say.
Exactly.
Yeah. I like him though.
Yeah. No problems with him.
Yeah. So then she gets out of the nunnery and on her way, I thought it was a nice touch, like when she's heading out, there's a girl heading in just like her that literally says the same line.
Yeah, she has the exact same dialogue about like, what is this place, mother doesn't mean anything to me,
mother is a bad word to me or whatever. And then she says one other thing that she said on the way in, and I thought that was pretty fun. But I mean, I thought they'd never seen anyone like her before. I can't imagine that someone was going to upstage her. She had, like, the best lines. She was so, you know, on it.
We don't know how many Silver Morgans there are out there.
Yeah, I like to think there's a bunch. Like, she just had, like, this one she has even cuter dialogue.
Yeah.
Like, she calls someone a lousy bughead. I was like, I like that.
You lousy
bughead. She says,
bughead.
Oh, bingo, you're bongo.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck does that mean? But I love it.
Yeah. Just making up shit.
Yeah, it's the best.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
These were fun.
You wheatgrass sucking loser.
Oh my God.
I just made that one up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got it.
Yeah. I got that bingo
John
bongo.
John Waters, call us up. We're prepared to write dialogue based on what we've watched here this week.
Yeah. He's like, that's old hat. I've already done that, you losers. So yes, Mamie. Mamie for the win.
Mamie rules. She's still alive. She has some questionable, like, I think she met her husband, like, fundraising for, like, Nixon or something.
Okay.
Yeah. She has, like, her, like, list of affairs is like very fun.
Ooh.
Like Warren Beatty, Tony Curtis, Clark Gable.
Whoa.
Pat, Burt Reynolds. Like it like spans.
Pat Sajak.
Clint Eastwood. Yeah. There's so many. But like It sounds like fun. And I kind of want to read her autobiography now.
I want to read her autobiography.
Even a poorly written autobiography.
I want to take a picture of her with my Holga.
Oh my God. Well, she's 91, so get on it.
I know. Where do I find her?
She looks cool as shit still.
Yeah.
I really like her look.
Yeah.
And she was, so like I read this on her Wikipedia that her and her husband, so she had a bunch of husbands, but she's settled in with one. He's a dentist, but he was also an actor.
Uh-huh.
And they were running apparently
this
like,
is my husband, dentist slash actor. Todd but, Bridge.
Yeah, his name is Thomas. I don't know what his credits are. I should have looked that up. But they had a website where they were making these like homemade short films, one of which is called A Girl and Her Banana, of her like posing for photo shoots in the 2000s. And like in a lot of them, she's nude. But now this is gone.
Okay.
Because, like, I want to see this shit. Like, yeah. Where is this shit?
Yeah.
And like she did it herself. So it's like she's in power.
Right.
It's like OnlyFans, but like before.
Totally.
If she had an OnlyFans, I would subscribe.
An older woman.
Yeah, that rules.
Yeah.
But I guess she still has a blog where she posts like little messages.
Oh, I'm going to go look for that.
Good for her. Yeah. I'm into it.
What else have you seen?
So I watched that Volcano of Love. Is that what it's called? Or is that what I just want to keep calling it? Fire of Love. Fire of Love. Have you heard about this?
Volcano of Love starring Bret Michaels.
No, it's about these volcano scientists that were lovers.
Those volcano freaks.
Oh my God. But her, like, so I rewatched it again. Uh-huh. Like, because her looks. How they say there's something like there's a difference between style and fashion. It's like she has such good style, like just natural to her.
Okay.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And I've been having a little bit of an existential crisis with my wardrobe. I want to get rid of like everything I own.
Uh-huh.
I am just like boil it down to the essentials, like the things that I like truly feel like me in.
Yeah.
And not this other shit.
Yeah.
And so she just was very inspiring and on many levels, but also her style. So that's one.
Right.
And then I went to the movie theater and to Metrograph here in New York. And for a friend's birthday, they wanted to see the Quay brothers.
Oh, yeah.
Brothers Quay.
Uh-huh.
Three short films. And then the last one was like a short film that was like a little mini doc on them.
Oh, cool.
So like we talked about Brothers Quay.
Yeah.
In the stop motion episode because of
early mini
involvement. Yeah. Involvement with Peter Gabriel and the Sledgehammer music video. And it was so great and dark. And like it was the first two, the first one was epic. It really like my friend Justin like likened it to like a Tool music video.
Oh yeah. Okay.
And I was like, oh yeah, it's like very dark and like you can't even tell that it's like puppets. You know, like it's very like, what am I looking at? But it's creepy and cool. And then it got like the next one was some kind of intermediary. And then the third one was like all the puppets, like very puppet centric.
Yeah.
Like, where you're like looking at a puppet's eye and stuff. And then seeing them together, like, cause they're freaky identical twins, like, and they have their own like camera and, you know, they have the camera on a dolly and they're making these minute movements and they're making all the puppets. It was fucking cool. And then I've been watching 1923 and 1883, the precursors to the television show Yellowstone.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
And then absolute trash, Too Hot to Handle, the reality show romance competition show on Netflix.
Oh.
I'm really running the gamut.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's what I feel like we're always running the gamut. Yeah, my trash TV is I have watched the first four episodes of the first season of The Jersey Shore.
Fuck, I've never gone there.
Man, you should because actually okay. I have watched The Jersey Shore before. I never saw the first season, but like, you can just tell that they all really like each other.
Oh, they're a family.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A freaky family.
And this is like where you see them actually like bond for real. Like they all are like really appreciative and protective of each other.
And getting super famous. I've heard actually I listened to Sexy Unique podcast. Mm-hmm. And they recapped it. So I would dip in and listen. Like they've recapped like various seasons. And I've listened. So I like know some about them and I've like not seen it. So it would be fun to match some things up because I know that they talk a lot about how like they are a family and they were getting so fucking famous at the time. And so they're like awful to each other, but they also like look out for each other.
Yeah.
And like they can only kind of relate to each other.
Yeah.
Like there's no one else in the world that's having the same experience.
No, yeah, that's totally. One thing that I hate is that like they like a lot of these MTV shows, they won't show the opening credits because they don't want to pay the licensing for the theme songs, which were usually just pop songs that were like popular at the time. And I miss the opening credits, like when Jenny JWoww says, "After I sleep with a guy, I will rip his fucking head off." You know, like they kind
they
of like
funny, right? They have
they're funny. Yeah. Like the situation, he's the grossest one of them. But like he like makes up the term grenade like on the spot. He's like, yeah, you know, like you'll have two girls and one of them will be like the hot one, but then you got this other girl and like your friend will just like go ahead and like take the grenade for you. And then he kind of he kind of stops and he like starts laughing and he's like, oh man, that's fucking good. Like he realizes that he just did that.
Dang.
So yeah, whatever. Jersey Shore. I also have been watching a lot of like, if you can watch Turner Classic Movies like streaming, they have a live stream. So I'll just turn on whatever is happening.
Oh, that rules.
Yeah, it's great. So like they have like the East Coast schedule and the West Coast schedule. You can just sort of pick between the two. But like the other night I caught Ziegfeld Girl.
Oh, yeah.
Which is so weird. And it's very like it's definitely like Valley of the Dolls, or Valley of the Dolls is like it. And then also, you know, we can go further into the 90s and it's kind of like Showgirls as well. But that was a weird one. Hedy Lamarr is like stiff as a board, but trying to be so graceful.
I mean, that face, it's like it's hard to.
Yeah, totally. I didn't realize. I'd never seen her in anything. Lana Turner is just. She's also bad. It's pretty great how bad it is. I'm sure it was a huge box office hit.
Oh yeah.
But you're basically,
I did it for a Monday Night Movie and
you're basically following these three Ziegfeld girls from the start of their careers. And Lana Turner plays the tragic one. She's the Neely O'Hara of the Ziegfeld girls. Patty Duke is Neely O'Hara in Valley of the Dolls. She's the one that just takes too many pills and gets too drunk, you know? This is the same with Sheila. I can't remember her last name, but that's Lana Turner. And, you know, she gets, you know, she turns into an alcoholic to the point where she's collapsing and has like, I don't think she dies, but like she's got deathbed scenes. She's doing that deathbed acting. And then Judy Garland, who plays like, you know, she's like real skinny. She's on them she's on them pep pills. You could just see it behind her eyes. She's like, "Hi, everyone." And she, and this movie's from what, the '40s, and she does a number that whole, oh my God, the numbers, the fucking stage,
the sets,
the numbers. She does that whole Trinidad number.
I don't remember that specifically.
It's very much like what Mamie is doing on television at the end of Untamed Youth.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Classic. You know, classic.
Carmen Miranda.
What other notable things have I watched? That was fun to like, that was fun to just come across, you know, it was fun to just put some, turn on the television and then that's on.
I mean, I do like this, the idea of someone else choosing.
Yeah, totally.
I'm going to do that.
Yeah. I watched, Blonde Venus, which I mentioned earlier, I realized that there's a connection between Marlene Dietrich and Joseph von Sternberg. And Joseph, we're going to talk about all this later, but like, yeah, I'm kind of obsessed with Marlene Dietrich and Joseph von Sternberg. And Joseph von Sternberg is just, all of the directorial decisions are incredible.
He's a killer.
So I did watch Blonde Venus, and I feel like we'll have to do a mini on Marlene Dietrich and Joseph von Sternberg after we talk about 1936.
Yeah.
I watched the Donna Martin Graduates episode of 90210.
Oh my god.
And I wanted to
I was not expecting that so well.
You know, she did it, gang. She won. yeah.
Ultimately, I don't know, but yeah. Yep, that day.
That day.
She did it.
Yeah. Speaking of winners, you're Caroline.
And you're Paul.
You're at Womanhood.
And you're at You Don't Want to Go In There. And we are at release_pod on Instagram and release.pictures on the internet.
We'll be back soon.
Nice to talk.
Bye-bye.
Bye.